The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Good morning. Welcome to Find Your Phone Friday, 770-563-3770-KMED. My email, Bill, at BillMyersShow.com. And it is an interesting morning. Of course, ended up watching the Trump speech yesterday. The first half hour, the more somber, contemplative Trump was quite interesting to see, you know, as he talked about the assassination. And, of course, very touching when he ended up, asking for a moment of silence for Corey Comparatore, the retired fire chief, volunteer fire chief, I would add, who was killed at his rally last Saturday. And then he went over to the fire coat and his helmet that had been displayed on stage and kissed it. I thought that was very, very touching. It was great that he was able to reflect on people who were there and not just his own experience. So definitely a changed man. Second half of the speech, I would say the last hour or so, was pretty much classic Trump. If you've been to a Trump rally or had monitored his Trump rally, it's pretty much like any speech you ever heard. Drill, baby, drill. And let's see, we're going to lower interest rates. We're going to lower interest rates. And given the amount of spending which is going on, that's going to be inflationary. So I'm thinking about remember when I was telling you about gold, how the issue that we're looking at is that neither party is really looking at that, at being fiscally responsible, because too much entitlement of everything is built into the cake right now. So I don't know, maybe I should sell oil stocks. If I were an investing guru, what we're supposed to sell oil stocks, buy gold. I don't know. Or maybe just buy, maybe he won't be able to make the drilling happen again. I don't know. But it was interesting. But like I said, the last hour was pretty much, if I were Trump's manager, I'd say less is more, Don, but that's just me. I know everybody else just eating out of his hand. Now, everybody else that is trying to get out of the RNC, I don't think they're getting anywhere because we've had this massive internet outage, which is still causing problems. I'm not seeing problems at the Rogue Valley International Airport. I'm on there flying aware. We're not seeing any particular problems there, but it seems like it is everywhere else that it seems to be happening. And this is and what's happened here, hundreds of thousands of computers around the entire world just started shutting down. And so these are servers, things like that. I'm not a high-tech guru in any way, but it would impact all sorts of business, transportation link, TV broadcasts even affected around the world in many cases. And it's a piece of cybersecurity technology called CrowdStrike, and that appears to be what is going on. And this specific piece of technology, now this is from MSN, CrowdStrike Falcon Sensor. It's used to protect against hacking threats. But engineers are quick to blame a problem with the system for causing this massive outage. The issue mostly seems to be impacting computers that are running Microsoft Windows 10, which is not really much supported these days, but a lot of people still using it. Heck, I've got some laptops that are still using Windows 10, too. It must have affected Amazon must have been affected, too, because I got a notice from Amazon this morning saying that you have to reset your password because everybody is, we detected an attempt to hack in. You're going to have to do this and blah, blah, blah. And it's actually legit. It's not a fake one. And yet nobody was successful because I have dual authentication on everything. So I'm a little bit surprised how someone could have even tried to. But needless to say, I'll look into that. But I'm looking here on FlightAware over at Medford Airport, and it really seems to be that everybody outside of here is really having all sorts of problems. Let's see. Yeah, even over at Wisconsin, where the RNC is, nobody's getting out of there right now. So I guess it's going to be another day of drinking beer and having kielbasa and hanging out. Maybe I'll call Melissa Molasco, the person who ended up checking in the other day. Actually, yesterday I was talking with her about her experience at the RNC. She may have to spend another day or two the way it's looking. I guess they're starting to get this all figured out, but it's going to take hours, if not another day, I would imagine. You can't just all of a sudden cancel all these flights or hold these flights and then have – it's just a huge backup that is going on around the entire country right now. And I don't see any particular notes on the Jackson County Airport, you know, the Medford International Airport at Jackson County. They don't have any notice about them holding anything, but it seems like they're not going to. In other words, check with your airline before you show up if you're looking to fly out this morning, because there's a very good chance, depending on where you're going, any kind of major airport is really suffering either huge delays or are canceling lots of flights even right now. It's 16 minutes after 6 here on the Bill Myers Show. I'll have to touch on this a little bit later this hour. I guess Commissioner Dan DeYoung of Josephine County, former Commissioner Dan DeYoung, ended up dropping by the station yesterday, but I hadn't unlocked the front gate because I hadn't planned any guests coming into the studio yesterday. Now, you know what it's like because of bumdom. You know, you have to have fences around everything these days. Otherwise, they'll just sleep in your door and rip apart your generator and steal your copper, et cetera, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so it was, but he stuffed a letter, a note to me in the fence. Dan, I thought you had my my cell phone number. I had your cell phone number. But anyway, you just call anytime you want. But he ended up giving me this this speech. This is an explanation of my resignation. Use it as you see fit. But I was unable to reach you. Yeah, Dan in the parking lot. So, Dan, I'm sorry I missed you. I wasn't trying to ignore you. But like I said, I'm doing the show. And if I didn't know you were coming in, I probably wouldn't have known. But I'll share some of this in the speech that he gave. He actually commented Wednesday as a regular citizen rather than a county commissioner. What I've detected so far is I don't know if he's more upset about the thing with the sit on the lap problem. You know that I know he's joking, but you just don't say those kind of things these days. Or that he was often on the other end of a 2-1 vote. And yet I talked to John West, and Commissioner West says, well, I've been on the losing end of 2-1 votes. And Herman has told me, well, I've been on the losing end of 2-1 votes, too. So I don't quite grasp that one. All right. Far as fires go, most of the fires that have been lightning caused from the other day's storms in Josephine County, most of those have been put out. Most of them have been put out. That's pretty good news. They had a vegetation fire the other day in Phoenix, grew to about an acre and a half before it was contained. It's been relatively quiet on the fire front, and they're starting to get things, of course, taken care of all around Salt Creek. They've ended up transferring management back to the local agencies. All right, so some good news. We are going to get some heat spiking this weekend. Mr. Outdoors, I think, is going to join me here about an hour from now, and we'll kind of see where it's going. I'd like to really find out more about the Shelley fire, and he'll keep us up on that and everything else going on in the great outdoors. It's 19 minutes after 6, KMED and KBXG 99.3 FM, the jukebox after 9 o'clock. It's when they crank up the jukebox again. Great classic hits, by the way. And I'm told that Weird Al Yankovic is going to call in because he's actually releasing a new single today. And it's been such a weird week. Why wouldn't I want to talk to Weird Al? Now, if he calls, I'll put him on. If he doesn't, then we'll just say, hey, he's banned from the show till next time. For all I know, he's supposed to be going to San Antonio, I think is where he's going, for a Comic-Con convention. He's going to be like the headliner there. And for all, maybe he's stuck at an airport. It could be, but we'll see. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow, 541-941-3736.
The Rogue Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op.
A lawn that's poorly installed will probably last at the most between 10 and 15 years. You just wish that you hadn't wasted all your work and all your money. The difference to having a good lawn, one that can be good for 40 to even 60 years with proper preparation, proper planting techniques, and proper after-planting care.
Talk to the Rogue Gardener Saturdays 10 to noon. Hear the Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED.
Bi-Coastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is publishing in July. Thank you to all of our winners and advertisers who will appear in the coming edition. In the meantime, you can visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to flip through the current magazine and find all of Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. Also, please email rvcontact@bicoastal.media if your business is interested in being a pickup location for the 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine.
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mart Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED.
21 minutes after 6. Josephine County Commissioner, I make that Josephine County Republican Party Chair, Holly Morton. I guess I was promoting you, Holly.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you don't get paid to be the chair of the Republican Party, but you would if you were county commission. Hey, you wanted to weigh in on the Dan DeYoung thing. Like, he stopped by yesterday, and I just didn't know. I just didn't know he was here. So I'll open the gate next time, but I hadn't been expecting any guests that morning to come in. What are you thinking?
Well, you know, bless his heart. Last week, he was defiantly telling all of us he had no intention of resigning. And I sat in the gallery thinking to myself, well, wait till the lawyers and the insurance company and everything decide to weigh in. Because this was actually a sexual harassment problem. You know, granted, there has been a period of time when he felt like he was being outvoted. But that's life in the fast lane.
Well, that's life as a politician. And he went to be he actually left Republican Party, became a non-affiliated, right?
Yes, he did. He left the Republican Party. He thought he was mad at us about something, which that wasn't even correct. It was kind of a weird situation, but he felt like we hadn't supported him when he was elected. Well, the fact of the matter is, when he was elected, our party wasn't even functioning. We put it back up on its feet, and it's been running, but there was somebody else coordinating activities across the street in that building, and It wasn't the party. So he's just a little confused about that, but this situation is, you know, makes me feel sad for him because it's a perfect example of what's eroding our culture, and that's two different things. One is spinning the truth. You know, there is a truth, and the second one is not taking responsibility. Those things are a huge problem to our society in general, and he's doing both of those things. You know, just take responsibility. I made a mistake. I thought it was the wrong thing. But to try to come back and blame someone else.
Yeah, the timing of alluding to blaming the other two commissioners. All right, you have your political differences, but you know that's why you have three.
Right.
It's 2-1. You know, a lot of times, and like I had mentioned before, there have been several times that I remember Herman on the losing side of 2-1s, and John West has been on the losing side of 2-1s. So, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, and
it happens constantly, and that's just the way it is when there are three. And the fact of the matter is, people in Josephine County have voted for the commissioners that are up there, And so their votes reflect, and they're very open. On any Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, you can go in and sit in on the commissioners' meeting, get up and put in three minutes is quite a long time. Put in your opinion on things. Afterwards, they stay usually up in the dais, and you can go up and talk to them about anything. You can call them on the phone. I mean, our commissioners are so accessible, you wouldn't believe it.
Oh, and by the way, I think all of our county commissioners, both Jackson and Josephine County, are very accessible. And that's something to be said. It's not what you get when you're in Portland or some larger city. You know, they really are. True. They're pretty good about that. So, all right. So that's kind of the Dan DeYoung thing. I have to ask you, okay, on the Trumpiometer, okay, on 0 to 10, Trumpiometer, what's the Trumpy speech from yesterday? What do you think? The exception speech, RNC.
I would give it a 9 plus personally.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not speaking for the party because everybody will weigh in on what they thought about it. But I personally thought it was very, very good. They, you know, first of all, you know, just within the week, the guy dang near got killed. And so the fact that he could walk up in front of an audience of thousands and thousands, how many people were there? 50,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Ridiculous number. The fact that he could walk up in front of a group like that and make a speech and be intelligent. I mean, you look at the other guy, we'll just call him. He Kenny.
I noticed that he only slipped one time last night and mentioned Biden just briefly, but it was always the administration. He was vowing not to say the name. He wouldn't say the name. Yeah. But
I thought it was good. But he wasn't quite as bombastic as he can often be. He was pretty calm about it.
Yeah, especially the first half hour. That was pretty somber. But the second half was kind of vintage truck. You're right. Not as bombastic as others, but maybe it's okay to be not quite so bombastic. I would still say less is more sometimes. Just say.
I think it was a little long. Well, that was the comment I got from a number of people who were texting me during the speech. I was like, when is this going to end? They thought it was very long. But, you know, he's accustomed to wanting to give people their money's worth, so to speak.
Yeah, well, he certainly likes to riff poetic, if you want to say, instead of waxing poetic, riffing on all sorts of things. Well, the one thing I will be really curious to see, though, is who he is going to be against. The rumor has it that Biden is out this weekend, but have to stay tuned for that one. Get the popcorn, Holly, all right?
That's going to be interesting. We'll have to see what comes up with that. And we're all battering around. Who are they going to put in there? I mean, I think probably what they're going to end up having to do is they'll leave him in there, and he'll name a new vice president, new running mate.
Who will be the presumed president-elect after a short time, you know, that sort of thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right. Yeah. Hey, Holly, always appreciate you calling. You take care, all right? Be well.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
27 after 6. Go to the next line here on KMED. This is Bill. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Morning. This is Linda Marie.
Your Highness, I haven't heard from the royalty here for quite some time. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing all right, thank you. First of all, I'll have to go back and watch the speech. Trump's speech. It sounds very good. First of all, I want to compliment you and Linda. The baby Charlie, so sweet.
You know something, Linda Marie? I hadn't even talked about Charlie yet. We ended up getting Charlie over at Southern Oregon Humane.
Wonderful.
And we did that, and we saw a picture of him, and we just saw a little spark in him that made him a cut above the standard cat. And when you're trying to take the place of Chester, who no one can take the place of Chester, but
yes.
We ended up going and getting his and picking him up. And he had some parasites from the shelter that had to be treated, so we had to isolate him in the and they were giving him some parasite, that intestinal parasite that
poor baby.
Well, no, it's nothing that hurts him. It's just that it spreads in the shelters, and sometimes they have to medicate him. So we were taking care of that, and got his blood work checked out at the vet. He's fine. He's healthy as a horse. He is so tiny. It's like he fits in my hand, and he's like 2 pounds of mayhem is what he is. All right.
Okay. Also, testimonial for Hell Gay Excursions. That's why I wasn't home to see the speech. I went with Cherry and her husband Joe. On my first dinner cruise, and it was excellent. You know, wonderful people, wonderful food, and everything. It was fun.
I am so glad you had fun with Hellgate. And the dinner cruises are the favorite, and the food's good too. Food's great too, along with the travel, of course.
Yes, it is. And I sat in the middle, so I didn't get as wet as a lot of other people got. So
wow, are you disappointed?
Oh no! I didn't want to get real wet.
Oh, you intentionally got there. See, I actually like the getting wet part when I've ridden it. But.
Yeah, I know it's I have to be careful of my exertion and things like that.
I got it. All right. Well, Your Highness, thanks for checking in. I'm glad you had a good time. Already.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
All right. You're welcome. 6:30. Let me grab another call before news here. We'll get Rick Manning, the D.C. Swamp update, for an update on this. Hi. This sounds like Gene. Hey, Gene. Good morning.
Yep, it's Gene.
All right. Did you watch it last night, the Trump speech?
I would have loved to, but it was too late, and I was too exhausted. So I went to bed and wished that it had come on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 81 years old, you know, so I get tired.
You know, you sound pretty darn good for 81 years old. You know, you're as old as Joe Biden right now, aren't you? Right?
Yeah, I'm as old as he. Well, a little older than he is because I was born during the war, but I guess he was born later than I was. Uh-huh. I don't know how, but anyway. No, I still have my mind, but what I wanted people to remember about Harris, mm-hmm. she was in charge of the border. Is the border closed?
Well, but you have to understand, that's a success story, according to Democratic lore. That's a success story,
yeah.
Gene. Hey,
I hope people remember.
I hope they do, too. I hope they do, too. Of course, this is Oregon. I don't know if we can hope beyond hope, but we'll be there for you, all right? Gene, great hearing from you. It is 6:31. We'll catch up on the rest of the news here. Bill London has an update, and then we're going to talk with Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com.
Artisan Bakery Cafe, your go-to for all things delicious. Now serving amazing summer specials. Try their turtle brownie, loaded with caramel and pecans, blueberry cream cheese coffee cake, chocolate hazelnut croissant, lavender cupcakes filled with Bavarian cream, and coconut cream beignets. So many fresh baked goodies just waiting for you. Swing by Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 3 and Saturday from 8 to 3 at 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer. That's the Artisan Bakery Cafe.
Is your business or personal tax return under IRS audit? Tell the IRS First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The Oregon Department of Forestry Incident Management team on the Salt Creek Fire will transition control back to local districts today. The fire is currently 84% contained and fully lined at 4,102 acres. Evacuation notices at Level 1B Ready are still in effect in some zones, but will likely be rescinded soon. The Rogue Community College Board of Education is placing a $60 million bond measure on the November ballot in Jackson and Josephine counties. They say it'll fund various projects across RCC campuses. Cass McLeod Skinner, the director of the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners, posted on social media expressing disappointment that the assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump failed. The state employee, who is the wife of Oregon Democrat Jamie McLeod Skinner, who ran for Congress and failed, tweeted on X, quote, "Nobody's this disappointed in 2 inches since Stormy Daniels." Bill London, KMED.
The phones are ringing at Fontana Roofing as word gets out about their metal roofing division. Let's be a fly on the wall.
Yes, sir. That'll be ready for pickup on Tuesday afternoon. Absolutely. Thanks for the call. See you Tuesday.
Let me guess. Another order for a metal roof pickup?
Third one this week.
I'm getting pretty good at this. I'm feeling, pole barn in Prospect.
No.
House in Hilt.
Uh-uh.
Garage in Gold Hill.
Nope.
Cabin in Keno.
Colder.
Riding arena in Rouge.
Freezing.
A fort in Fort Klamath.
Brr. I'm so cold, I can't feel my toes.
I was running out of alliterations.
Well, you were on the right track. Warehouse in White City.
Well, that was my next guess.
Uh-huh.
But I can choose the color.
Go.
Brown.
No.
Green.
Eh. Try again.
Gray.
That's a big negatory, Ghost Rider.
Whether you'd like your metal roof manufactured and installed on site, or you're picking up to do it yourself, you can safely guess Fontana Roofing will create a metal roof that's perfect for your project. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Black Fuchsia.
I'm done. Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Always appreciate you listening, no matter the time. Live 6 to 9 weekdays on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG. I'm here for you. But life has a way of getting busy. So if you miss a show and you want to catch up, or you just have a different schedule, well, that's what my podcasts are for. The last 3 months or so of my shows available for free download and sharing on KMED.com or BillMeyerShow.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on ClouserDrilling.com.
Getting ready for a summer road trip? Click on the travel report on KMED.com for the latest road construction, road cams, and gas prices in our region. Be prepared with the travel report on KMED.com. Brought to you by Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
6:35.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see. Mama told me let's go.
Boy, this weekend... In Milwaukee, depending on where you're coming from, What a crazy party it was, but I have to say the most effective RNC that I've seen in a long, long time. And joining me, we're going to talk about this, the D.C. Swamp Update. Rick Manning is president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. And, yeah, it was a long speech at the end. I got to admit that. But overall, I'd have to say pretty much a home run this week on RNC. Would I be right or wrong about that one, Rick? What say you?
I think that that Donald Trump is going to get as many votes as possible out of this convention. The votes that we're there to get, he's going to get. And you can never really measure these things because the truth is none of us know how many votes are actually up for grabs. But I think this was this convention this past week, absent being shot, was as good of a political week that Donald Trump could have had, because on the other side, Biden's falling apart and the Democrats are tearing him apart right now. So you have the person he was expecting to run against being he's Caesar in the Senate right now, and he's shocked at who's holding knives. So that's where Biden is, and Donald Trump.
And by the way, if you were a Democrat luminary, you'd be right to have the knives out for him. Honestly, you know, it's just the way it is, because it's self-evident. You can't hide it. There's no hiding it any longer.
Bill, if they were honest, they would say he needs to be out of office.
Exactly.
The fact that they're more worried about, gee, he might cost us an election, than the next 5 months, we've got places where we may have wars in four different locations around the globe that we're involved in. It's the world's becoming a rapidly more dangerous place, and we have a president who the people in his party say he's incompetent to run for re-election. Well, if he's incompetent to run for re-election, he's incompetent to be the president. And that's the most – and they're not talking about that.
So they're not talking about – no one's talking about Amendment 25 at this point.
All they care about at this point is they're going to lose some House seats. They're going to lose some Senate seats. They're not going to have a chance to control the House or the Senate. That's all these guys are talking about. That's all they care about. This is about trying to get some enthusiasm down so they don't get destroyed down ballot. I understand that. But that is when they made a decision in November, October of last year, to tell everybody who was a potential candidate against Biden to stay out. They didn't want a divisive primary. They made a decision to have exactly what they're having right now, because Joe Biden may be a little worse now, but he wasn't good back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact is that was a conservative conspiracy theory, and it was a conspiracy theory right up until the point the public saw it for themselves, at which point they said, oh, well, we got to dump this guy.
Oh, and, yeah, we're shocked that he's infirm. Yeah,
towards the convention, though, just you have to put it into context when you talk about political. Towards the convention, it embodied a sense in America that there's something really wrong, and we need strong, tough leadership to get us out of it. And Donald Trump's an easy person to build that meme around. Mm-hmm. But when he comes out after being shot and sticks his arm in the air, and you get that picture everywhere in America, that picture is the embodiment of that. And that's what they reflected in this. Although I have to say my wife, who's not a fan of Donald Trump's, I met my wife at a college Republican recruiting table. She is.
Oh, so you have a mixed, you have a mixed marriage then, right?
Well, we're both Republicans. We're both conservative. She's done some things way more conservative than I am. But from a perspective of Donald Trump, she just doesn't like his style. Okay, like a lot of people. And so it's a
That's the suburban voter that they always keep talking about. The suburban woman, right?
I noted it. Hulk Hogan and Kid Rock did not help this, but Donald Trump's president,
I was thinking that too, kind of like hairy chested, chest thumping types.
I'll tell you where they did help, but in terms of my wife, that she was going, what is going on here? But it was a what his initial talk, his calmer demeanor, his almost somber approach.
Well, it was very empathetic, Rick. It was very empathetic. Empathy.
Yes, it was, and it was honest. It was, you know, what people today call authentic. That was authentic, and it was, and so it really, really hit home. And you know, so that first half hour, where he's talking about the fire chief that was killed, and mm-hmm. he's talking about the families and the money that was raised and the like. I mean, that was powerful stuff. That was powerful TV. And one of the things I know about these things is you're looking, and when you're communicating in today's world, you're communicating in, you know, 30-second sound bites and not hour and a half sound bites. So those things are going to be reels and clips all over the place for people to see. And it's a powerful story of empathy. It's a powerful story of rising, you know, of Donald Trump rising from the ashes, mm-hmm. from the people thinking he was dead to raising his fist in the air and urging people to fight. It was as powerful as anything I've seen. And I will tell you at the end of it, when he was talking about, you know, him being there for the grace of God, it was, I cried.
Yeah, I teared up a bit on that. And also, I'm not supposed to be here. I shouldn't be here.
Yeah, supposed to be here.
You know, earlier on. and without having, and yet I had to laugh about it later in the speech when he ends up throwing up all of those information graphics that he turned his head to look at and read at the rally last Saturday in Butler, and it ended up saving his life. He says, I never had a chance to read it. So he threw it up on the screen. And even then, he had to always inject a little humor in it. And I appreciate that about the Don. I really do.
Well, he's a unique personality in American history. And I think what he did was, over the last week, it solidified for anybody who's honestly looking at this race and looking at him, that he's not just in it for himself, because this is the first speech where I've looked at and I haven't sort of cringed occasionally when he uses the word I a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't use the word I a lot. He talked about America's problems. He didn't talk about him. He still used it a little, but it was really a speech about America's problems and what needs, and identify them, and saying, you know, he did say, I'm the one who can fix it. And the proof point is he did before.
Yeah. But there was a little more sense of we rather than I out of this one.
Yeah.
This was a very different speech than what he had probably written originally, which was just going to be bashing Joe.
Yeah. Well, the other piece of that is whether or not, if Butler hadn't happened, bashing Joe doesn't make any sense given the fact they're trying to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just changes. It allowed him to focus on policy. It allowed him to focus on the differences, some of the challenges in the country, and, you know, the wars around the world and just the fact that Joe projects weakness. And as a result, people push him around and they push America around. And that is, when you get down to it, and you listen to the Kid Rock song, which I've never heard a Kid Rock song before.
I don't think Kid Rock does songs. I'm not a fan.
The convention
The
convention. Listen, the convention wasn't for you and me.
Yeah, I know.
Okay?
I understand that.
The convention was for people younger than you and me.
Mm-hmm.
So that is and if the, you know, part of the objective of any convention is to send your troops out with, you know, kind of in a frenzy to go do what they need to do over the next four months to win, okay? Or 2 months to win, or however, 3 months.
It's about rallying. It's about rallying and encouraging.
It's about bringing people together. It's about coming out with a singular purpose to save this country. At least that's what this convention was about. And it is a... And that's what you got out of it. And it is, and so I'm just, I, I think from a closing day standpoint, they couldn't have done better. The people they brought in proof points that, you know, about some of the problems in the country, from fentanyl, deaths from fentanyl to, you know, the border. And
I have to tell you, those Gold Star families, yeah, boy, yeah, that was really compelling too. And
it really is.
And the other thing about it is that we got to the point where I would not watch I stopped watching the convention on the major networks, all of them.
Right.
Because, you know, you would have some of those speakers who were less important, would be considered less important according to the elites running the networks. Some of that was
even Fox News.
Fox News, all of them. I don't give a damn what Jesse Waters is blathering on about with what we're hearing. I just want to hear what they're doing. And so I ended up watching it on C-SPAN most of the time because they just ran the convention. They just put it up there.
That's a choice I wish I'd made. I watched it on Fox, and I wanted to hear kind of what some of the people were saying, but from a practical perspective, you don't get the old days of having the convention on, you know, all the networks, and you're able to sit there and watch 3 hours of the convention every night and be able to just be engrossed in it. You know, those things are, I don't know what happened to them, but they're over. And unfortunately, you know, Fox has personalities that get paid a lot of money to talk on TV, and they would be a lot better off during a convention shutting up and talking in the intervals and not talking over the speakers.
I would agree. And well, it all has to do with highly paid television personalities. Well, it's all about them. You know, that kind of thing. And it, frankly, just irritated me. I said, wait a minute, I want to just see a raw feed. And that's what C-SPAN did.
Well, and that's wise.
And C-SPAN, like I said, C-SPAN, you could actually watch the convention instead of everybody's, well, you know what they say now, everybody has a hot take. Here's the latest hot take on what you just saw or what we have coming up.
I don't need a hot take on what I just saw. I know what I just saw. I thought the value add that Fox had anyway was there was a split. They had a split screen a lot of times when people were talking once President Trump was in the room, and they had a split screen which showed his reactions to those various speakers. And I found watching his reactions significantly more interesting than watching the speakers.
What was his reaction to Nikki Haley? I'm just curious because I tell you, there was a lot of bad blood between the two of those, and this was supposed to be a healing moment within the Republican Party. Do you recall?
I don't remember if he was even in the room, but if he was, it was not. He was in the room. It was open and friendly. It wasn't antagonistic at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of shaking his, nodding his head, and, you know, kind of just kind of Trump, you know, mid-Trump. But, you know, she didn't give a full-throated endorsement. She gave the endorsement she could give. It was an honest endorsement.
Because it's a binary choice. That's all we're at now. It's just a binary choice.
Right. Nikki Haley was there to speak to Republicans who sit there and they say, because of January 6th, I can never support Donald Trump again. Okay. That's what she was there to talk to. That's the whole purpose. And she stood up, she fought in the primary, she lost. And now she's saying, we do have a binary choice. And the only choice you can make if you care about the condition of the world and about America is to vote for Donald Trump. And that's ultimately, she was a credible source to those people. And there are a small percentage of those people who do exist who say, I won't vote for Trump. And the Bill Kristols of the world will never vote for Trump because his whole worldview has been destroyed. But
could you honestly say, though, that the Bush Republican Party is in effect gone now? Are we there?
Yeah, for better or worse, it is. It is, for better or worse, the Northeast Republican control, kind of operational control of the Republican Party. Even while the conservatives would win victories, the Northeast Republican operational control is dead.
Yeah, well, Northeast Republicans were the ones that were more concerned that we run someone that would go on to lose gracefully You know,
yeah, they wanted to look. They wanted to look good, picking up the second place trophy.
Yes.
And Donald Trump, the guy who sits there and says, you know, if you're not first, the view's the same, no matter what place you are in.
Yeah, yeah. If you're in second, if you're in second, you're the first place loser, right?
Right.
That's the way Don would.
And so he's a little bit different on that, but I think it goes the real difference if you look at J.D. I rewatched J.D. Vance's speech yesterday. I watched it live, and I rewatched it because I liked it when I came off of it, and I slept on it, and I was like, and I kind of had tossed and turned about it, and I wanted to, and I rewatched it just to kind of see if what I thought I saw, and what occurred to me when I was sleeping, and. His speech was not, it could have been given at the Democratic Convention in 1960.
I know. I was thinking that it was very RFK-like, really. JFK,
yeah,
pardon me, not RFK. Yeah, RFK, and, different well, one. Right.
JFK actually had a, you know, took on the labor unions, was fighting with labor unions pretty strongly, and he actually was the sponsor of a bill that forces reporting for labor unions on all their spending, which the Democrats always avoid enforcing. But so JFK actually had a pretty rugged kind of relationship with the labor unions. He wasn't their choice.
But you see, labor unions were also a much bigger power in those days.
They were a significantly bigger power, and certainly in the Democratic Party, they were a massive power broker.
But I would say though, I think that we're kind of, we may be going back to a shift in power when it comes to labor unions, especially given that the financialized – I'm just me spitballing. I maybe not be as nuanced as you would be on something like this. Essentially, since I was a kid, there was a shift of power from labor unions to essentially capital. And of course, the globalism push here that there are our own Republicans and Democrats were happy to push, you know, and the outsourcing of jobs essentially decreased the importance of labor. And the political power.
The power of the unions, yes.
Yeah, the power of the labor unions has certainly gone. I think that bird has, that worm has turned, and we're starting to go back to a little bit, because now demographics, we're in the demographic shift now where there aren't as many people. There aren't as many people in that workforce overall. And this whole idea that you're going to keep throwing open the borders to illegal immigration and unfettered and just screw every American that's sitting here that says that, no, you're just a cost to be controlled, I think that's changing. And I'm thinking J.D. Vance is almost on that cutting edge of that. And it's almost like the Democrats and the Republicans have flipped roles in some ways.
Well, I think that's true in terms of, you know, there's always – the Republicans have always been for Main Street, while, you know, as strange as it may seem, the Democrats – at least in the last, since Ronald Reagan, have been much more tied to Wall Street.
Yeah.
It is a, and if you need any clue about how the Democrats are controlled by billionaires and not regular people, 11 to 14 million, can't remember the number, regular people voted for Joe Biden to be president in the primaries. And a bunch of billionaires are now saying, we're going to withhold money from you unless you stop him from being the nominee. And who are they listening to?
They're listening to the billionaires.
They're listening to the billionaires. So who controls the Democratic Party? They aren't the party of the people anymore. They can't even claim that. I've argued for a long time. They haven't been for a long time. But they've lost any semblance of handle on the mantle of being the working person's party or the party of the people, yeah, against the big business. J.D. Vance, and these are some of the things I applauded. He was clear. The multinationals, you know, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is run by the multinationals,
they have absolutely no loyalty to American people whatsoever.
They really have no loyalty, and that point was made directly. In fact, a piece I've got in Town Hall that's was put up at midnight last night that I wrote yesterday, it was because of the Vance speech, and I quote him. The first lines are a quote from him, and I'll paraphrase, but the inflation crisis is an affordability crisis. That was the best synopsis. I've been talking about this for a long time, and I'm embarrassed I didn't come up with that. That is such an accurate synopsis of the problem. When you can't afford to buy a house, you can't afford your rent, you can't afford food, you can't afford the gas for your car.
You can't afford your medicine. You can't afford the insurance.
It's a complete collapse of the command and control state that we now have an affordability crisis that isn't just an affordability crisis for the bottom 10 percentile, but it's an affordability crisis for the bottom 50 percentile.
Right.
And that is the bones of why the people who work for a living look at Donald Trump and say, that's who supports me, that's who's going to fight for me, and why they reject Biden's economic message, because they don't believe he cares about them. And they're right.
He doesn't. He cares about the billionaires, say. Now, Rick, I'm going to ask you one question, then I'm going to take a quick break, and I'd like to ask one more before you take off here. It's just too important.
Absolutely.
But are we now at the point where the Republican Party on a national basis is no longer going to be embarrassed to have white voters? Because I could swear where they've been working for, it's like everything for minorities as if, we don't need to worry about those hillbillies that are doing their elegies in southern Ohio or northern Kentucky. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? That kind of thing. And it's almost like the party was embarrassed about its voters' base in many cases. Is that over now? Can we admit it or not?
I think there is a battle with less embarrassment, but there is a battle. The Republican Party of old didn't want they would have people vote for them. People who worked for a living and had calluses on their hands, happy to have their vote, but they didn't want them inside the party.
Yeah,
they didn't want them. They could stand outside at a rally, but you couldn't come inside. And that was and that's changed. I think the most instructive thing, and this is why I wrote the piece on Vance. I really wrote it to him. There is the single thing that worries me is that there were very few times when you heard anything about government being the problem, particularly in Vance's speech. He didn't mention that once.
I did notice that.
And so when you look at it, you say, if you actually want to do the things you say you want to do, Trump had the right approach of getting rid of a lot of the regulations, creating lower taxes and creating an environment where people can thrive. But government doesn't create these jobs. Government doesn't actually drive inflation. They do through their spending, but what drives these economic problems more often than not is a failure of government to do its job up front in terms of the border and the like, and then the government restricting the ability to go and deal with take advantage of the fact we're Saudi Arabia of natural gas,
mm-hmm.
and artificially drive up utility costs, artificially drive up a lot of the costs that come out of our pocket, and costs that come out of businesses' pockets that then get passed along to the consumer as a hidden tax. And that's what inflation is, by and large, is a hidden tax based on the government spending and the regulatory burdens put on business.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the take here. Rick, hang on. I have one more question to ask, but it'll be about the Democrats in just a moment, okay? And we'll be right back with part two of the swamp. The D.C. Swamp Update. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
Joel here with another Butler Money Saving Truck Deal. Get $4,300 in Ford rebate, get another $1,000 in Ford trade assistance cash, plus $900 in Ford finance cash, and I'll tack on a $3,800 Butler Ford discount for a total savings of $10,000 off a 2024 Ford F-150 4x4 Crew Cab. Or buy a new 2024 Ford Bronco Sport for less than $27,000 when you have a qualifying competitor SUV. Also, I've got low interest rates, well, on everything. Edges, Escapes, certified pre-owned Explorers, Broncos, you name it. Butler says yes to $10,000 off on trucks. Butler says yes to saving thousands on Ford Broncos. Butler says yes to low interest rates. And Butler says yes for more for your trade. Butler Ford and Truck Center, rated number one Ford store in Oregon by Google. Just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got the selection you desire and the guest experience you require.
36 monthly lease payments at 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, saddle, and 250 dealer down fee with vehicle cap cost of $42,884. 72 monthly payments of $15,15 per thousand finance. All financing on approved credit.
American Industrial Door invites you to see their Wayne Dalton wood grain finish collection. Transform your curb appeal with high-quality, non-repeating wood grain that looks like a real wood door. The innovative design blends the strength of steel with the timeless beauty of wood. Wayne Dalton offers a variety of simulated wood finishes and window configurations, too. Count on the quality of Wayne Dalton and the expert service and installation of American Industrial Door. Showrooms on Crater Lake Avenue north of Vilas and Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET.
Couple minutes after 7, part 2 of the D.C. Swamp Update. Rick Mannix, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Rick, we've talked a lot about Trump and J.D. Vance and the convention, and a big success, of course. And now that we see the long knives that are really out, Axios and all the other gobbledygook Democratic media organizations are all in on, hey, they're going to take Biden out this weekend, most likely take him out or else he'll quit or something will be changing. I probably received 10 to 15 emails just in the last day or two. Michelle Obama, what role do you think is going on there? And another question that was asked, and I don't know if Amendment 25 22nd Amendment would actually prohibit the one, as in Obama, as being vice president if they had this wide open situation, but because it says that you just can't be elected to a third term. But what do you think?
First of all, I don't think Obama is eligible to be elected to
even be on the ballot. Okay.
If hypothetically Joe Biden stayed on the ballot and then resigned after the inauguration, and Kamala was elevated, then she could have appointed Obama, as long as he didn't stand for election again.
Okay.
So that was actually the squeaky way to get to Barack Obama, and looking at both the 12th and the 25th and 22nd Amendment, I guess, which both deal with it. In terms of Michelle, I've been saying all along that she's the most effective person they could have running. If they do in fact convince Joe Biden that he shouldn't run again. He may look like Harry Reid after a battle with the weight machine.
Yeah, I remember that.
If they do in fact convince Jill and Hunter that Joe's got to go, there will be it's going to be Katie bar the door. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no rules. And by the way, I thought pretty convincingly that you couldn't transfer the campaign money to another individual beyond Harris.
And that's what I had read too. But is that not the case? Could it be done?
In a world where somebody will find there are a lot of loopholes that people are trying to work through to try to figure out how to get the money into. And
boy, don't try to separate Democrats from their money, right? You know.
Yeah, well, they're gonna. Well, the money's why they're making the choice.
Yeah,
but it's a. But it is, if they do something, okay, let's say they transfer the money and they let Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama or whoever be the beneficiary of those gifts, it would be akin to, then they go and there's a challenge. Can you do this? It goes to the FEC. FEC split 3-3 on it. Democrats will vote they can. The Republicans vote they can't. because it's politics and it's about, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars being not being taken off the playing field. The other way they could do it is they could move all the money to the Democratic National Committee and effectively have the DNC run as a proxy campaign. And that way they could, and so that's the other way they could potentially do it. There's a lot of, in modern electoral history, this hasn't been done. On the Michelle Obama question, mm-hmm. I've said all along that she's the logical person to replace him. If they're replacing him with her, they'll also replace the vice president, and they could put in somebody else to be the vice president, a Newsom or a Gretchen Whitmer or Shapiro from Pennsylvania are the three who are being talked about most. But that's your, you know, so they could do that and completely change their ticket. And I think that's why the Republicans focused a lot on policy and less on Joe Biden.
Because Joe Biden could be replaced. Policy is what matters right now.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So it's and I think that's really an important, in some respects, it actually makes the wiping them out more important because there'll be a rejection of their policies and not a rejection of a personality.
Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Well, one of the swampiest updates ever here, Rick. And I appreciate you.
The palace intrigue is pretty incredible.
But, I know.
Seen anything like it. And by the way, last week I said if they've lost their window, they can't get rid of Biden now. So see what I know.
That's okay. It's very, very fluid. It's very, very fluid.
It's very fluid.
And remember, when you're talking about the money and whether they've lost their window or whatever it is, remember, Democrats, unfortunately, still have most of the lawyers. And we have to understand. That's what's running the system right now.
Well, they have the lawyers and they have the administrative state, which in many respects makes some of these decisions. And the Federal Election Commission, I think Federal Election Law says they can't transfer the money. But, you know, all you need is commission to say we don't care.
Oh, come on. Laws. You know, laws are just mere suggestions when we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in campaign funding.
When we're talking about power, the power and control that go with it in terms of the power and control of both, of two different things. Power and control, A, of the country, but also that $300 million, somebody's going to spend it and somebody's going to get a 15% cut on it.
Yeah.
So it's really about who gets to spend the money.
Yeah, it's the advertising agency budget, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Think about it. $100 million is only $15 million in somebody's pocket. So,
boy, people have killed for a lot less, okay?
Indeed.
So, all right.
Anyway, all those things are going to play. Have a great week, and when we talk next week, I'm sure nothing will be clear.
Oh, yeah, of course. But we'll certainly try to look, peer through it. Rick, thanks for being on. Great talk. Really enjoyed that, okay?
Yep.
Be well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
8 minutes after 7, DailyTorch.com. This is the Bill Myers Show.